Blog Talk Radio.
Greetings. Welcome to another Wonderful Approach Wednesday. This is your host, Mama Seven, and I am so glad to be at this part of the day because it's been a long day. And I think that goes for everybody. Everybody and anybody that's really trying to make Wednesday your day to be. If you're working hard, trying to make sure that you're getting your shrine duties in, you are waking up with prayer, you are working hard to make sure that you are getting situated in your life, being intentional in your spirituality is so, so very important. And that's what we do every single Wednesday. We work hard. And it does end up being hard work. It's rewarding work. That's one thing I can say. It's very rewarding, but it's also very difficult. And it's only difficult because this world would have you focusing and centering everything else on it, whether that's work, whether that is relationship, no matter what you're working on, it will keep you preoccupied and away from those things that not just matter, but are important. You know, they feed your spirit. You know, this is something that we have to get into the habit of doing, is saying that our spirit is important. I have to do this before I do anything else. And I make a habit of course, prayers have to be done before anything else. You know, just like we make time to brush our teeth, we need to be making time to check in with our Creator. We need to be making time to check with ancestors. And more than just a wave, hey, how's everybody doing? Okay, I got to go, bye. Got to do more than that. You know, a lot of this, and I say this a lot, but a lot of spirituality is building a relationship, okay? So if you had a relationship with somebody and all you got out of the time was 5 seconds, 10 seconds, would you really call that a relationship? You know, would you feel as if this was important if all you got was to check in, hey, how you doing, bye, see you later? And then, you know, to add insult to injury, I'm going to spend 2 or 3 hours doing nothing but watching TV, but I've only made 5 minutes for you. Kind of rude, kind of disrespectful, kind of not cool. And so we have to work on all of those things, okay? We have to really make sure that if this is important, if your relationship with God is important, and honestly, your relationship with God should be the most important relationship that you have. And the only way you can have a relationship with God is by having a relationship with yourself first. So as you can see, I'm trying to set up priority, okay? I'm trying to set up, okay, before we finish 2 hours giggling on the phone with girlfriends, before we spend this 2 hours watching nonsense TV, before we spend that time invested in 1,000 other places where there's no return on investment, you know, let's spend and invest some time in ourselves first. Let's really put this work in. I was talking, I was speaking with our dear sister Unique, and we were just going over the miracles of 2020 because there were quite a few. And then how 2021 has taken off like a rocket for some people. And what we were seeing is, okay, everybody who did ancestor work turned around and got blessed so largely. I want to turn to Trump, but got blessed bigly. It is amazing. It's amazing. And so, and I was just going through the list, you know, just my small mental list. All those that did the hard work, that made the commitments, that really said, hey, look, I'm here. I'm going to do this work. I'm uncomfortable. I'm going to do this work. You know, no matter what, I'm going to do this work. All of those people are sitting in much different situations right now. So I just say that to add a word of encouragement so that we can know, hey, look, this is important. And not only is it important, and not only is it obligation, what we have seen and what God already told us this. God said it. But it's come through in spades now, okay? What you work on, you get blessed on when it comes to spiritual things, okay? So I really just wanted to put that out there and give people that word of encouragement moving forward. We got devotions coming up, April 12th. And so if Wednesdays aren't challenging enough for you, like if you say, okay, I got this. I got my shrines done. I got my prayer studies in. You know, I'm working on my five prayers. Like Mama 7 is saying, hey, everybody needs to have five prayers down pat. You know, Mama 7 is really putting in place, hey, this is how we have our spiritual protection. This is how we watch over our families and our households. You know, she's doing the teaching. She's giving us the information. I'm doing it all. I'm ready. Okay? April 12th, we got devotions coming up. Spirit said this devotions is going to be the biggest yet. The more work we do as a collective, there are more and more people that are joining us. You know, for those people that didn't know anything about spirituality until January of this year, there are quadruple the amount of people that are looking for a change. They're looking for something else. They're looking for something to hold on to. It's like I've tried everything else. Now I'm ready to try this. Those people are going to be looking for a home. Those people are going to be looking for those things that work. And I'm not saying it work for only me. You know, I'm over here with my testimony, okay? They're not looking for just work for me. They want to know, does it work, period. They want to know, hey, look, I'm okay with putting the work in. I just need some help along the way. All those people are looking for homes. So as I'm getting, you know, I'm excited, and, you know, my angels, I'm look, y'all are putting the work in. Amen. But I need you to really get a good grip on this now, because we have those that are coming in behind you now. We have those that are brand spanking new, don't know anything, but they know they need something, okay? So this is what we're trying to put in place. So I just want to remind everybody, make the most of these Wednesdays, because you don't know when I'm going to call you and say, hey, look, I need a prayer, you know. Hey, look, we got someone in trouble, you know, we got the prayer line. You know, God willing, that we're going to get these prayer warriors up and running, and I need to be able to call and say, hey, we got a situation, so-and-so needs some prayer, and we are on it. We know what to do. We already have the supplies in our house. So this is going to become the engine. That's who I'm talking to, the engine of the machine for God. How wonderful is that? So this is where we are. This is Wednesday. This is why we do the work, and we're trying to get a running start for April 12th, okay? We got to get this fast month in. We got to do it the right way. This is going to be the one. Spirit says, I don't know why. I just follow instructions. So that's why we're working so hard every single Wednesday, because we know that there are those that are coming brand new, don't know nothing, but need a whole lot of everything. They need to see God's miracle. They need to see God working in your life. And that's going to help inspire them to allow God to work in their lives. Okay? So, no, don't get me started early. But last week, we were talking about, I remember we were talking about that intuition. We were talking about getting comfortable with knowing what you know. Listening to that little voice, that little something in your head, you know, learning to develop and trust your intuition. Again, this is a lot of what I just got finished recapping, okay? You have to learn how to trust you. You have to learn how to trust your relationship with God, because without that, how is anybody else going to know how and when to trust? You know, back in the day in the church, they would stand up and they would have a point or testimony, okay, where you can come and talk about how good God has been, blah, blah, blah. And so, and that was a way of sharing your experience with God with everybody else, you know. But now, you know, this is not a Christian church. This is not a church at all. This is an active, living organization, and we're living the testimony. And so that's why this is going to become so important. But how can you live something that you do not trust? How can you be something if you haven't really put your full weight on it? You know, I'm not doing that Bambi leg stuff and you're putting one toe in. I'm talking about you got to really fall back on God. You got to put all your trust there. You know, when we do retreat, one of the exercises is, what would you do if you were not afraid? And, you know, that particular exercise always amazes me because I'm saying, like, wow, you know, when you hear how much fear holds people back, and people are like, hey, I know exactly what I would do if I wasn't afraid. If I wasn't afraid of failing, if I wasn't afraid of everybody looking at me, if I wasn't afraid, I know exactly what I would do. And the fact that that knowledge is known, the fact that you know what you would do, means you're living a partial life. If you know right now what you would do if you were not afraid, that means you're only living a small segment of life. But you can't get past anything that you don't trust. So it's all connected. It's all connected. And Spirit's just going back and forth and back and forth, showing me trust versus fear. Trust versus, you know, and so going back and forth and showing me where you can't have both. Either you're going to trust in God or you're going to worry. You can't have both. So, you know, we need to spend some time really, really going back. Trusting your intuition, because trusting your intuition is trusting your relationship and your connection with God. So really, let's spend some time. Let's think about it, family. Let's think about it. Go back. If you didn't get a chance to listen to the whole show, take a second. Go to awonderfulapproach.com or go to A Wonderful Approach, the Facebook page. All the shows are posted there, okay? Coming up in doing the devotions month, we're going to have our own little closed group just for us, just for us to get there, not whine and complain about how hungry we are, not get, you know, distracted in the daily, you know, whatever, okay, but really to be that inspiring, that encouraging word to really just give more hope, more inspiration, more energy, more all of that, all those things that are important to us, okay? So we're going to get through that. We're going to get through that together. But right now, let's make the most of our Wednesdays. This Wednesday, this is something I say all the time. And today, it just was all over me. I was like, oh, this is the show. I can't get past this. Freedom ain't free. And I know you're like, you know, Mama Seven, this is a spiritual show. I'm talking about spiritual items. I'm talking about spiritual concepts. I'm talking about leveling up. Freedom ain't free. There's always a cost to what we do. Okay? So I'm sitting up here, you know, I'm giving the big kudos for all those that are working hard in their spirituality. I'm kind of shaking my finger at those that I want to push a little harder. Come on, God, push a little harder. So we got that going on, and you're like, but I'm telling you, freedom ain't free. There's a cost to everything, okay? So what's the cost? You know, you're like, okay, well, you know, what's the cost of making my prayers in the morning? It's my prayers. I can say it. I have freedom of speech over here in this country for now. And so I'm allowed to do this, I'm allowed to do that, right? Well, the cost of making your prayers in the morning is that extra 10 minutes of sleep, okay? When I wake up in the morning at 4:30, if I'm not up at 4:30, it's going to cost me something. Something's going to get missed. Something's going to get left behind. Something, 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 okay? I have to wake up at that time because I want to make sure I get everything done because I'm going to get it done before I go to work, right? I have to. There's no way I can do my job if God is not walking in front of me. You know, sometimes I'm like, okay, God, I got this. I can walk in the front. You know, like, if you, I don't know if you've ever seen, like, a two-year-old walk. That's me trying to walk in front of God, okay? They're walking all wide-legged, not bending their knees, about to fall down on their face at any moment, and then they're going to cry if they fall. But no, no, they don't want to hold hands. They want to make it on their own. That's me trying to walk in front of God, okay? So some mornings I tell you I can get up, thank you, God, I got it, and I'm just off and running or off and stumbling or whatever you want to call it, right? But as I've gotten a little older and gotten a little wiser, I'm like, okay, I know that I'm going to need some help on this. I'm going to need some help. And it costs me every time I do it. It costs me sleep. It costs me, what, 10 minutes on the phone doing Facebook. It costs me some humility when I have to go and be submissive to God. That's a cost. When you go, you know, Father, Mother, God, and when you bow your head in acknowledgement of something bigger and greater than yourself, I just paid a cost. And so it's important sometimes that we review this cost, because I want you to pay the cost knowingly. You know, I'm very, I like to think I'm very good about briefing people about what this is going to cost you. I like to think that I spend time, I make individual phone calls. Let me tell you what this is going to cost you, okay? This is going to cost you saying that you, I mean, I have it posted up in the house, saying that you are in a wonderful, wonderful approach angel is going to cost you the ability to get pissy drunk and post all over Facebook. It costs that. Being an angel costs discipline. It costs lots and lots of time because I demand prayer and study and energy and all these other things. You see what I'm saying? So, yes, we have the freedom to do what we want. None of us are children except for Zakiya. And we're all able to make our own decisions and our own choices. And I want to make sure that before you make this choice, before you make any choice towards your religion, that you understand what it costs. Now, I want to say, you know, I can't talk about cost without thinking about our ancestors, okay? And thinking about the cost that our ancestors paid. See, I sit back and I look at my cost. You know, when you go shopping and got a little buggy there and you go put it in your cart and it starts to accumulate and stuff. But I can go online and boop, boop, boop. I got the cost. I can see it. I know clearly what my cost is. Right? But I wonder, did our ancestors know what the cost was? Did they know that some of these costs, the cost was their life? You have the option. You can jump off the side of this boat in the Mid-Atlantic Transit. You can. You can. But did you know that that would end your lineage right there? It's a cost. So for all of our ancestors, one of the reasons why we have to big up our ancestors so strong is because they paid some ultimate prices just to continue the lineage to get to this point. There were things they had to endure that if they had seen the total in the buggy, they may not have hit purchase on that. You see what I'm saying? I know me personally have ancestors, and I'm like, oh, they could not have known that sacrifice was coming. Oh, they could not have known they were going to have to endure all of that and then agree to it. I sit back and I look at, you know, yeah, I still have oppression. I'm not going to lie. There's still some things that aren't right. I work at a facility. I can tell you there's some things that ain't right in this world. But my ancestors, what they had to endure, what they were willing to go through, and some of them didn't even get the benefit of the freedom. They didn't get, I'm their sunny day. They never got to the good part. I'm their good part. So I just want to, we have to go back, we have to think about this cost, okay? We have to think about what it cost us to get to this point, what we gave, what was the price, what was it, and then really kind of go back and think, am I still committed to doing this? Is this still what I want? You know, and I'm, you know, this is a spiritual organization, it's a spiritual show, so this is what we're applying it to, spiritual type things. But this is life. What did you give up to work the job that you work? You know, to be in the relationship that you're in. And if you're looking at this relationship that you're in and all the things that you've given up or you're willing to give up, and you look at the cost, it's like, ooh, does this cost equal up to what I think I'm getting or what I'm hoping to get? And so this is the conversation for tonight, okay? And I hope that I get a couple people and are willing to share in understanding how not free this freedom is, even the freedom to practice your type of spirituality. All you have to do is press one, and that lets you know. That lets me know that you'd like to join the conversation. But not just the freedom to practice how you wish, to think how you wish, to read books, to speak whatever language you want to speak. There's still some things that we're fighting. You know, for those people that have natural hair, we're still working to get accepted in the workplace. You know, men with beards are just getting okay to wear their beards in their corporate jobs. You know, women are just being accepted to work in certain positions. There are fields where it's much more male dominated. There are fields where it's more women dominated. And so every time you make a decision or a choice, there is a cost to pay. I call it, it's a word, called opportunity cost. What is the opportunity that you gave up to do this? Okay? You got most people. I was at work and I was speaking to a group and I told this one guy, I said, look, you got 10 fingers and 10 toes. He said, no, ma'am, I only got 9 toes. I said, well, I don't know if you're going to make it. He was like, oh, okay. I was like, well, look, we'll have to substitute, okay? You have to grow another finger or something because you need 10 toes. But, you know, we have limited resources as to what we can do, all right? So we have to make choices as to what's important to us. And we can't be in here doing a contradictory thing, okay? It doesn't work. And it's not me saying it doesn't work. The universe says it doesn't work. The laws of attraction say it doesn't work. You know, just like the praying and the worrying, that doesn't work. You can't pray over a topic and then turn around and worry about it. That you're conflicting yourself. And it gets thrown out the window. Both the wants and the worries. Everything is thrown out the window. So that's not helping anything. Not at all. So what I'd like you to do, if you know this for a fact, if you know that freedom ain't free, if you know the cost that you have paid and you're willing to share, you know, press one. Let us know what you got going on, what you're thinking about, how this works, how you've seen it work. But, you know, it's important that we go over this cost, okay? And I really, really, I'm hoping that I'm hoping we can get this done on the radio and this don't sit with me all night and going into the weekend because it's really, really pressing that people know the cost. One, you know, this is spirit, the spiritual show. It's a spirit-led program. Spirit says and does what they want. But spirit's like, first understand what it costs to get you here. Understand the sacrifices that ancestors have made for you. And we don't even have to go far back in the ancestors. Look, what are your parents doing? What's actively going on now? Who's making a way for you? We got people praying for people they don't even know. That's how we roll, you know. But we, you know, we are really working hard to be this healing, loving organization. And there are some costs that are paid. And I want to just spend some time thinking about that. I really want others to spend some time thinking about it and agreeing to pay the cost. So you just press one if you'd like to join. We have a conversation on it because it's kind of important. I really want you to understand some things, okay? So we were going over the morning prayer, right? And so we just went over the cost of the prayer. Now, I could tell you what the benefits of this morning prayer. And these are just the benefits I know. I'm sure there's more benefits. I'm just not aware of all of them, okay? But part of the benefits of saying that morning prayer is checking in with God, getting good with God before you walk out that door, asking God to watch over you, to watch over your family, to safeguard your passage back and forth to work. You know, there are so many things in this world that could happen to us, any family member, whatever. We can't even name all the things, you know, that may possibly occur that we need protection from. God, I seek refuge within. So making that morning prayer helps us start our day in a protected space. Now, question, should you make prayer and then turn around and go cuss somebody out? No. You know, making that morning prayer and having God on your lips, like they, you know, they always say to mothers, oh, will you kiss your mother with that mouth? You know, think about it. Would you praise God with that mouth that you just used to curse out one of God's own children? When does that become a conflict for you? So when does it become a conflict for you to praise God in one breath and then curse at one of his children in the next? When does that get okay? Is there a time basis? Because Muslims are supposed to pray like 5 times a day. So is there an amount of time where your prayer expires and then you can go and start cussing and fussing? Or do you want that prayer to last you all day? See, I want my prayer to last me to the next time I make my prayer, and then that prayer to last to the next time I make that prayer. And I don't want there to be no time gaps where my prayer is not covering me, covering my family, covering. I got two children. I have two birth children, and then a whole bunch of other adopted children, those that are precious to my heart. I don't want my prayers to expire ever. But what's the cost of that? The cost might be I have to pull up from some other kind of low-level conversation. I may not be able to kiki like I want to and get into the gossip. And did I may have to let that go because I don't want the same mouth that I just used to call on God's favor to be just messed up and not have precision of language with somebody else. You see what I'm saying? See, God's not a light switch. There's not an on or off button. We're either here or we're not. This is part of the cost. For all those that are getting the benefits, oh, God has blessed me. When God blesses you, one person, right? God's not expecting that blessing to stay in one place. It's supposed to be like a pond that has a pebble in it. You're supposed to see the ripples of it. So the blessing should benefit your children. It should benefit your community. Then turn around and benefit your global community. You know, you being at a good mood should be a blessing for your job. They're like, ooh, thank goodness. So as we have all the positive things rippling, guess what? That negativity, it can ripple just as quick too. That's why we have to be on our job. This is why those morning prayers have got to be made. But understand the cost of that morning prayer, okay? First, you got to study it. You may have to, you know, if you're a trap music listener, if you got a bunch of foul language music going on in your head, you may have to pull back from some of that. You may have to skip the latest Young Jock record. You may have to intentionally pull some of the negativity that's in your head just floating around. I have no idea why you keep renting out space in your brain for negative things. You let them stay in your brain rent-free. What? No. Can't let them stay in my brain rent-free. I have to have space for God. I have to have space to hear the angels speaking. I have to have space to have ancestors speak whenever. Ancestors don't have a light switch either. You know, so in order to be ready, part of my cost of being this, you know, the spiritual leader that I am, trying to make sure I'm maintaining myself and those that wish to aspire to these high standards, part of this cost is I have to really push this negative stuff to the side, and I have to be dedicated to positivity. I have to be dedicated to peace. I have to be dedicated to precision of language. Even in the middle of, I'm telling y'all, working in jail, in the belly of the beast, okay, is not a good situation. And I have to maintain my bubble of protection constantly. Sometimes I have to sit back and make a prayer and do a patch job on my bubble because my bubble, you know, bubbles, they get torn and all this stuff. So I have to go and do my little patch job and make my prayers and stop what I'm doing and thank God and everything else like that because it's a real situation. But I promise you it can be done. But what's the cost? The cost is sometimes I have to be by myself. The cost is sometimes others are not going to understand what you're talking about. If you can always see a silver lining, if you can see how God creates blessings out of no way, when you always the first one to recognize that the door might be closed but the window is open, if you're that person, there's a cost for that. You may have to be by yourself. Others may not get you. You know, I see all these little cute little memes on Facebook talking about, you know, how do you know that you're the black sheep of your family and all this stuff like that. And I was like, sheep, we have colors, you know, we have colors. Come on. This is the work that we do. You know, as far as I'm concerned, we only have work duties or workstations. That's it. It's not a matter of what everybody else is doing. But that idea, that perspective, that costs you. It may cost you being one of the popular kids. You may not be able to be one of the popular kids. It may cost you making commitments that other people don't have to make, okay? So, example, we all know about the Eleke ceremony that's coming up. Everybody knows how incredibly proud I am. From deep in my toes of those that went last year, of those brave souls that are going this year. I mean, this is some work. You're making commitments, and honestly, most people first generation. So you're taking upon yourself, hey, I'm going to work on something that no one else in my family has done. I'm willing to do something that hasn't been done in my lineage for hundreds of years. I'm going to practice a traditional religion, a traditional culture. In the middle of 2021, I'm going back to my roots. That is amazing to me. The heart and the bravery that takes is amazing to be able to dedicate yourself like that. okay? I'm going to tell you, not everyone had to take a class to get their Eleke. And I'm not talking about a wonderful approach. Everybody in a wonderful approach does, but not everyone in the world, okay? So you'd be like, someone's like, I saw this rap star artist, you know, with booty shorts and the leggings on. What's going on? Everybody may not make the same sacrifice and may not have the same dedication as you, but those aren't the leaders either. Those aren't the ones that stood up and said, I want to have a close relationship with God. Those are not the ones that said, I'm going to not just be, you know, looking out for myself. I'm willing and I'm ready, Mama Seven, to watch someone else. You know, every year we get fast buddies. You know, I'm ready, Mama Seven, to really, I think last year, not only did we have one fast buddy, I think we had two. That's because our numbers got so large. You know, everybody had to get two. And I'm thinking even this year, maybe even larger, which is a blessing, but it's work also. So understanding that you, all my people, getting ready for Eleke's, we got Eleke ceremony coming up. You have to make a sacrifice weekly of time that you're listening and you're going to apply what these Eleke's are. What are they? What are they for? Why are we doing this? What are we getting out of it, and what is the cost? Not just the financial cost, but, you know, there are limits and restrictions as to what, where, and how you wear your Eleke. There are commitments that you're going to be making even after you wear your Eleke. And so you need to know the full cost. That's what I can tell you. I can tell you the cost. I can tell you how to travel to get down there. I can, you know, I can tell you how to start the ceremony. But what I can't tell you is that you may lose a friend as a coworker or a coworker that's a friend, because when they see these beautiful Eleke's, it will confuse and scare them, and it's going to cost you the relationship. I can't tell you that because I don't know, but I guarantee you somebody will. Though we have to understand the full cost of what we can understand. Because those little hidden costs, that's a hidden cost, okay? We didn't know, but now that we do, it's like, wow, look at that. That's a cost. And those are the things that I think are so important for us to share and to speak about so that they don't, you know, completely surprise you, but you can kind of brace yourself for it. And you can make plans. Yeah, this is what I'm going to do. You know, I think every other person can share a story of how a relationship has changed because you decided to get serious with your spirituality. I know I've had, I would say almost every relationship change, and that to me, that would be more accurate. Some of them changed for the better. You know, I have people that I called associates before, but I call sister now. And so I have relationships that got stronger. Then I had relationships that were like, look, you and all these rules. I'm not into this, you know. I still want to be able to kind of lottie, you know, lottie and dottie how I wish. No, I'm not coming with you. You know, I'm not gonna live that kind of lifestyle where I have to constantly be doing X, Y, and Z. Nope. I'm good. And it's okay. It's okay. Because when I came into this lifestyle, when I said that I'm going to do that, I knew at that point freedom wasn't free. You know, I have the benefit of looking at my mother and seeing a lot of, you know, of course, I was a child looking at what my mother was doing. That means I have limited understanding as to what was really going on. But I saw the people that didn't stick around once limits and boundaries were put in place. I saw, you know, the relationship, just like with me, certain relationships became so tight, it
went from friend to sister. And once someone is a sister, that's it. You know, there's nothing you can't get through once you've gotten to that level. And then I saw some relationships unrepairable because God came in and stepped in and said, you know, this can't continue like this. And it's okay. But I knew growing up that that's how it would be. That some people who I just knew were going to be with me, and vice versa. People I fought with, will still continue to fight with, but they'll be there for me. So I just wanted to go through and share again how ain't free freedom is, you know, and really having everybody understand what that means, okay, and understand the role you play in that. So if you would like to join the conversation, don't let me keep going forever and ever. All you do is press 1. That lets me know you'd like to join the conversation. You can share, and I'd love to hear about a hidden cost, if you knew what that hidden cost was. You know, I've had limited surprises, but I've had a couple of surprises of where I had a cost pop out of the bag on me, and I wasn't really prepared for that. I wasn't ready. But it is what it is. It is what it is. I know I've lost jobs. And you know, they can't just fire you because you are unique. But what they can do is make it very, very uncomfortable. And so I've had those situations where, you know, I am in my whites. It's Wednesday. Got to wear my whites. I've had jobs, one of my first jobs, that I actually really, really liked. But every Friday they did happy hour. And there's nothing wrong with happy hour. There's nothing wrong with sipping a drink. But I had a problem with this job that did happy hour because one of the ladies was a struggling and failing alcoholic. I mean, she would sit beside me and she would drink her drink, then my drink. And I'd look up, I'm like, okay, my drink is gone. And then she'd order another round because they're free. Boss pays for them. She drank her drink, then my drink. And I was like, okay, my drink is getting drunk and I'm not touching it. And so every Friday it would turn out like this where, and I felt as if by going I was condoning or participating in this young woman's disease. And so what I did was like, hey, can we mix it up a little bit? Can we go like maybe hang out at a bowling alley? And then, you know, can we do something considering that one of us has a problem? And we all know who had the problem. I said, but considering that, you know, everyone doesn't participate in that lifestyle, can we do some other things as well? And it was a problem to the point I was told that's part of the job, networking, connecting. And I'm like, but does it always have to be at a bar with alcohol and we have this alcoholic? And I was not asked to go to the bar anymore, but I was also not asked to be part of this committee, that committee, and then eventually, I was getting into my spirituality, but to me this was like a moral issue. It wasn't even a spiritual issue, it was a moral issue. And I was like, why can't we be considerate of everyone, even those that are having a problem? I wanted to stand up for the little guy, you know, and it cost me the job. It cost me the connections. It cost all of that. And at the time, and even now, I was okay with paying it because I just couldn't get good. I couldn't get comfortable knowing that I was participating, allowing this situation to occur, and I had said and done nothing about it, you know. So did I know it was going to cost me that? No. Does this woman even know or care about the battles I was doing with and for and around her? No, she doesn't know. But yet it was a stance I was willing to take. I was glad I took, and it showed me who I was in the middle of all of this. Okay? So don't be afraid when you know that you're right. When you know, don't be afraid to pay the cost, because the reward is going to come back later, eventually, maybe even next lifetime. But understand how we pay costs and know that up front, so that you're not mad, oh, man, I have to pay this, I have to do this. Uh-uh. You volunteered for that. You volunteered for it. So I have a caller that would like to speak, and I would love to hear some information. So I'm going to go ahead and go to the phone lines. Greetings. Welcome to the show.
Greetings, Mama Seven. It's Nicole.
Hi, Nicole. How you doing?
Oh, it's Wednesday.
Very Wednesday.
Very, very, very Wednesday.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Today was definitely a very interesting, intense day. I think I've come out on the other side of it, but that cost, in this past year, I didn't realize what the work I was doing for myself that I was happy to do, how much it was costing me. I'm still working through that. Little surprise, hidden surprise? No. Major surprises in the relationship shifts that have taken, some for the worst, some for the better, some for the greater.
Amen.
And yeah, amen. Definitely amen to that. I'm working on focus. And you know, and it's like, really? Like, it all came down to, you know, really standing in my truth and being okay with that. Even when I didn't know it was coming, you know, from family or, you know, even some friends. And it's like, you're supposed to have my back, and you weren't there because of not my own stuff. It was all theirs. Standing in my victory, standing in my truth, standing in, you know, the blessing that came out because of the work that I'm doing or have done. It's not easy. It's a fight for sure.
Amen.
It's all great, but it definitely makes you pause and really evaluate. And I think that's where I am right now. I'm in a real serious evaluation mode of how I need to deal with those people that have kind of let me down.
Yes.
Because, you do feel a loss, but I know I've gained more than I lost.
It doesn't always feel like it, but
when you look at it, it does.
And that's the important part, knowing that no matter what you think you've lost, there's more of God's blessing waiting for you. You know, you can't look at the situation always and ask for the blessing. Sometimes we have to look to God for the blessing, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So if you just paid your money here, it's like, hey, I paid the cost. They may say thank you and keep it pushing, okay? And you're standing there like, well, wait a minute.
Mm-hmm.
You know, where's you can't look always to the person. Look to God. Look to God. And God is the one that's going to say, okay, you know, this is how this is going to work, you know. And there are those, you know, Bibles, surahs, apotekis, hadiths, all of them are full of stories and understandings where work was done or work needed to be done, and the reward didn't come at that time. It may have came much later. You know, decades later, lifetimes, generations later, but you still do the work, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And as our dear sister Nicole will tell you, there's always hidden costs, okay?
Yeah.
So agree to what you can agree to, knowing there's maybe a little something on the back end, you know? So,
yeah. Definitely. I just say keep moving forward. Just keep moving forward. It, It's going to be okay, even when you don't think so.
Yes. even if you can't see it. You know, this is
even
why God tells you, trust not thy own eyes. Okay,
yep.
Because what's going on may not even be in your view, even if it's right in your face. Right, Nicole?
Yes. Yeah, amen.
Even if the blessing is right in your face.
And I'm so happy I don't have to wait for the blessing in the next lifetime. I have
okay.
the blessing right now.
Okay.
The blessing came immediately after. Immediately after.
Immediately. Couldn't see the forest through the trees.
Yeah. Never. Never. I'm here now. I'm here now and working towards it. I'm working towards it.
Amen.
I appreciate a wonderful approach for sure. Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
Okay, I have one question, because you said you appreciate a wonderful approach, right?
I do.
Now, was there a time in there you may have been a little mad at a wonderful approach? Now, everyone has told me that, Mama 7, I was so mad at you. You know, everyone has a I'm mad at you, Mama 7 story. Maybe we'll do a show at the end of the year of everybody can get together and share the I'm so mad at you, Mama 7 story, okay? But, you know, was there ever a time when you were like,
I wasn't, I will tell you, I wasn't mad. It takes me a lot to get mad. However, I was like, what are you talking about? Like, you don't know what she's talking about. But I'm like, and then I had a plan. I had a whole plan, and I was going to do, you know, one thing after I left a certain situation. And you're like, you don't know enough yet. I don't know enough yet. I done did this. Yeah, it was. I wasn't mad, but I was like, I know what I'm talking about. I know what I can hear. And then when she says to you a wonderful approach, audience, you don't know enough, believe her. I promise you, you don't know anything. And now I'm like,
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yes. Okay.
Yeah.
So wasn't mad. Just a little, you know, a little test real quick.
A little testy.
Okay. A little test.
Love it.
A little test. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much. Yeah, I think we're going to have that show because I've had that conversation with enough people now to fill up at least an hour and a half of, ooh, I'm so mad at you. But I'm telling you, God got this. All you got to do is just keep stay focused, do the work, and it's right here. It's wonderful. But there'll be a moment like, oh, Evan, I don't know. We got to talk about this. We got to work on this because you said, then I said, then you said. And so I'm like, okay, but what did God say? No matter what you think I said or anything else, what did God say? God's already given us the plan. We already know what to do. We already know how to move. So what did God say in the middle of all this? And then we can say, okay, I get it. I'm listening. I'm working on it. So, yeah, we have to do that. And so in the middle of freedom ain't being free, we have to talk about the cost. We have to talk about the work. We have to talk about, you know, truly leaning on God. You know, I remember I was having a conversation with my oldest son, Solomon, just last night. And we were talking about how to pray. And, you know, Solomon is young. He's 21. And so there are things about prayer that he's really just coming into the understanding of, okay? There's some things about life he's just coming into the understanding of. And I was trying to teach him how to pray in an open sense to allow God to come in and make the decision. So we were talking about relationships and the investment of husband and wife and how this is one of the most important expensive costs that you'll have outside of children and how important it is to really find a good by definition of God's definition of a mate, find a good mate to start your life with, okay? And so I was very, very amazed, pleased, wondered that I was able to have this level of conversation with my son. And then I was glad he was listening. He had asked me, you know, well, what is this and what is that? So he was asking me, how do you pray for a good mate? I want to make a good decision. And I was telling him, ask God to bring me the one that is best for me. And so I said, now don't say Shaniqua, okay? Because even if you're looking at Shaniqua and Shaniqua looking fine, we're not going to ask and pray for God to bring us this. We're going to ask God to bring us what is best for us, okay? I need a mate that's compassionate. I need a mate that is understanding. I need a mate that wants to, a little adventurous for me. You know, I need this, I need that. And so we were going through what is needed in a relationship. And then I told him, then at that point, you have to detach from the outcome. So even if you're looking at Shaniqua in the eyes, and God's like, no, no, no. If you're asking me for a virtuous woman, you're asking me for a woman that is going to walk with you in God's steps. You want a woman that is going to be able to and ready to and do her best in raising a family. You trust me? Because if you trust me, I'm going to tell you to close your eyes and let me guide you to where you need to be. And so I'm talking to this 21-year-old, and he's like, okay, so you're telling me I have to detach from the outcome? I was like, yes. I have to let go of control. I said, son, you have no control. You have no control. Try to work on controlling your breath, your words, and your loins. If you can control that, then you might have something. But outside of those three things, your poor little body, that's it. That's all you got. There's no control. So what you're doing when you sit back and you say to God, God, I trust you. I trust your decision-making in my life. I trust the relationship that we have built to the point that I know you're going to guide me in the right way. I trust these things with you, God. If you say that this is the person that I need, I'm here. I'm ready to receive. If you say it's not, I have to be ready to follow those instructions. And it's not free. At that point, and he's like, okay, so I'm giving up control. I said, yes. Or the illusion of, because you have none. Okay, and I'm giving up, you know, what I thought. I said, yeah. Yeah, you don't know enough to think, son. Okay, and I swear he said the same thing about 10 times. And every single time I said, yes, you're on the right path. You're understanding. This is what it takes. This is how you trust God. This is how... Because at that point, once God has chosen that mate for you, once you have followed God's instructions about how to handle this and how to handle that, once you have done that, then if something comes up in this relationship, and things always come up, what do? You're going to go right back to God. God, I need your guidance. God, I need your support. God, I need you to come watch over my head. Please come shut my mouth. You're going to go to God for all those things because you followed God here. That's how you got here. See, when you can sit back and say, God brought me to this person, there ain't no question as to what you're doing. I already know what I'm doing. I'm following God. Period. So when this world has me off sync with my partner, I'm going right back to God. We're going to God together. How about that? We're going to come up with a solution together in the name of God. But when you made this choice with your eyeballs when you made this choice with your loins or any other reason why we make this choice, fear of not having other choices. Sorry. Fear of not having other choices. Whatever reason you made this decision, when things go wrong, can you take it back to fear? Fear is going to put you deeper in the hole. Oh, you got to stay. Oh, fear, add more fear. That's what fear is going to do. Fear is going to try to drown you with the fear. Okay? I can tell you them loins, whew, as you get older, they may not be the reason to make decisions, okay? I'll just say it. Okay? Your looks, eyeballs, you making decisions because it's the finest thing you done laid eyes on? Maybe not. Maybe not. So I just wanna make sure everybody understands. I wanna go with the thing that I know works. I know God works. I've seen the miracles. I know what happens when you allow God to come into all aspects of your life, when you have given up the unhealthy attachment. I gotta be attached. We've been together 5 years. I don't care how many years you've been together. We have to attach because I can't see nobody else in my life. That doesn't matter. God moves mountains. You don't think he can move your zip code to one that got more men's in it? You see what I'm saying? So part of the cost is all these things that we're talking about. But the benefits, like my dear sister Nicole, I'm going to spend the last, 10 minutes talking to you about the benefits, all right? The benefits. Once you have paid the cost, now I tell you this, you have to pay the cost first. Because if you get the benefit before you pay the cost, you don't really know what the cost is. You may have put a deposit down. I'm sorry, y'all. You put a deposit down. If you got any benefits beforehand, I promise you that was just a deposit. That's not the full cost. I like to know the cost up front because then I'm going to tell you if I can afford this. There are some things out there, you know, things you can have, things that you want, whatever. If the cost is what I'll tell you the cost. Like everyone has been down to the temple, love the temple, nice, big, spacious. We got 2 and 3 ancestor shrines going on at one time. You know, a wonderful approach, don't play. You know, we all out, right? But why can I do that? Because I live in the country, in the middle of nowhere. Part of the cost of me being able to have my beautiful wraparound porch is because I'm in the middle of nowhere. There's no reason to sit out on the porch outside of air. There's nothing to see. It's in the country. You're watching grass grow and squirrels play. Part of the cost of being in a town that got a little bit more going on is what? Bills, maybe. Bills double, triple. The cost might be a smaller house, less porch, maybe. The cost may be I have to watch my child outside because right now I could put that booger outside and come back for him the next day, he'd still be there. So there's a cost to everything. And just as much as I complain that there ain't no bowling alley in this country town, towns that have bowling alleys have paid the cost for that, okay? So, you know, even in the middle of something that might be uncomfortable, you know, understand there's a cost and a benefit to whatever and wherever you are, to whatever you're doing and everything you're doing. There's a cost and a benefit. Those morning prayers, we know the cost. But we also know the benefit, too. We get to start our day the most important, protective way, and that's with God. Living this spiritual lifestyle, you know, even though I wear my leques under my clothes and everything else like that, because it's a jail, because I have to go through all kind of metal detectors and all kind of good stuff to get into this job. My people have seen, they see me around my neck. Oh, they know that there's something different about you. Oh, they see my hair with all my bells and my beads and my shells and everything like that, right? Part of the cost of being able to live my natural, wear my hair naturally, wear my culture, my religion out loud, part of the cost is I have people at work that watch me with both eyes because, you know, they're a little worried. They're a little, I don't want to say scared, but they're not as open and receptive and everything else like that. So part of the cost of being me, being that spiritualist, is there are those that actually have fear about who I am and what I do. They're confused. I have stigmatisms, and, you know, I didn't eat chicken at the company picnic, and so now, you know, a black woman didn't eat chicken. Oh, my God. So, you know, it's, you know, I now have people that are fearful. And I didn't know that would be part of the cost of wearing my protective gear. You know, I don't look at their little crosses around their neck and get scared. You know, I mean, I'm like, look, you got a man half hanging off of a cross around your neck. That's scary to me. But no. So I didn't know that was a cost. There's all kinds of costs there. So just something to think about. I got a caller. You know, it's almost prayer time, but I want to say hello. I would love to say hello, see what's going on. Greetings. Welcome to the program.
Good evening. It's Melissa. How are you?
How are you, my dear?
I am good. I just wanted to say thank you for that example of a prayer that you just said, because, like, last week with the intuition, I personally seem like my intuition only works with something bad. Like, it just tells me no, 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 no.
Uh-huh.
And I'm tired of hearing no. I don't want to hear no. I want to make something happen that's not happening. So hearing your prayer was like, okay, so stop fighting the no and trust yourself, because that's God telling you something. Because in essence, in the end, the no is what was the outcome anyway, right? And then saying a prayer in that way, I trust you, God, to, you know, allow the soul to come to and I like what I heard was, and will not be a hindrance in my relationship with you, God. Like, I like that. Like, I was like, oh, that's awesome. Like, I've been praying for something similar, but not wording it in exact that way. So I like that, because I feel like this is another way for me to try to get what I want,
yet
be obedient in the same manner. So let go of, you know, I'm still learning, but let go of certain things. But I like that prayer, because that's what I have to do, because it is between me and God, and listening to that intuition is listening to myself, which is hearing God, and that's the other goal for me. So thank you for that prayer. I just want to tell you that's what
super
inspired
awesome.
In me.
Super awesome. How wonderful. Thank you so much for calling in. And, you know, it meant a lot. It meant a lot for Solomon. It meant a lot. As he's, and everybody knows, he's moving into this whole idea of adulthood, okay? And I'm so glad that he's, you know, in my opinion, he's taking it slow and steady, okay? And so part of making prayer, real prayer, prayer that you're listening to, prayer that you're going to abide by, is knowing where you begin and where you end. And then knowing that God picks up right there, okay? And allowing God to have that place and say in your life is telling God, I trust you. Now, when you are committed, when it's got to be you, and it's got to be this person, and it's got to be this situation, and what? At that point, God's like, if you knew that much, if you had that much control over the situation, you wouldn't be saying anything to me, would you? So we've got to get to that point where we are trusting God, especially with those big decisions. You know, we think about relationships and relating with people because it would be nice. It'd be wonderful to talk on the phone and share that time and have somebody to share your day with and all that wonderful thing. You know, my mother says, if you take one more picture of that bad kitten of yours, I want to take some pictures with other than Karen Jenkins pictures, okay? But she's so cute. But, you know, it's wonderful to think about having someone to spend that time with. But I can tell you that position is very important. Who you are with will a lot of times take you either closer to God or further away. Who you spend that time with, who's in your who you're relating with, will influence you, will influence your language a lot of times, because it's like if you're cursing every other word and I can't be around curse words, then what is that going to do? If you have negativity, if you're keeping the negativity churned up, and I'm trying to be committed to peace, how are we going to be able to spend time and work on that, you know? And so 100%, this person who's close to you, who you're in this relationship with, will have a lot of say over the type of, over how you interact with your God. If you can believe that, it's true. And so at that point, you have to think, this person has to be from God. Because anything that's going to, I don't say come in between, but anything that's going to influence or impact my relationship with God needs to be of God. We need to have certain things already lined up, because I can't have you pulling me from God. I can't have you distracting me from God. So rather than taking the chance of being distracted away from God, why don't we go ahead and find someone who's already taking those serious steps to get closer to God? Why don't we allow God to make the decision? Because God knows my heart, they know their heart, and God knows our temperament, and if we're going to be able to really, really make this come forward. So that relationship is very, very important. And you can't have just anybody up in there, okay? I was in South Carolina, and I did this little math equation, and it really kind of irritated some people, right? So let's say you're working on yourself, right, and you're trying to get close to God, and you're doing it. Out of 10, you're at a 9. Do you know what it takes to be at a 9? I don't think I'm at a 9. I mean, you got to be on it. You got to wake up on it. You got to go to sleep on it. You got to stay close to God, make your prayers, keep your shrine up, keep your house up, keep your children bathed, feed the animals. I mean, it's a lot that goes into being a 9, but you do it. You do the work. And you're dating somebody who's at, let's say, a 5. Like, let's say a he and she situation. He knows there's a God, but, you know, he calls on him if the tire blows. And so you had a 9, right? Your whole world is about God, and you're dating a 5, okay? Now, we're going to put these two numbers together. We got our 9, we got our 5. What does that get us, huh? And then we're going to take that number and divide it by half, because this is what happens when we're with someone. Okay, literally, our bodies work and fit together. We are yinging and yanging at this point, okay? So in this relationship, we're going to put these pieces together, and then we're going to divide it again. And that's what you are. So if you were at a 9, do you really want to mix with a 5? Do you really want to have your number jump down after you wake up early in the morning to pump it up? And it's not just about trying to live this perfect life. It's not. But really, don't be afraid to value your relationship with God. I do. I really do.
my relationship with God lets me know that I'm precious. It lets me know that God thinks I'm important because he's wiped off faces of earth for me. You know what I'm saying? God has come and fought battles. God sends armies of angels to watch over me. So I value my relationship with God. It makes me feel good to know that he thinks that much of me. That's amazing. So my question is, and, you know, I fuss with my people about jumping in the mud, okay? If you truly see what God took the time to create in you, don't forget, babies are divine experiences. Something special happens between this man and this woman at this time to bring forth life. And you don't think that that's precious? That's amazing. So my relationship with God is something I'm very, very proud of. I'm protective of. It's something I want to grow. I want to get better at it. So do you think that I would allow that relationship to be influenced and impacted with something that's not about the devotion of God? It's just something to think about. Will that end up costing me? Yes. And it has. It has cost me. I have paid prices on it. I have made sacrifices on it. It has not been free. But it's one of those things where I can sit back and I can say with clear conscience and open heart, God, you know. You know what I need. You know what is needed. You know how to make this happen. I have trust in you. I've seen the miracles. I know my golden children. You know, well, if I've ever called you golden, I've been like, whew, those golden children, that as long as they're lining up with God, they get what they want. They get what they need. They get it in abundance. What? Oh, no. So I'll tell you, family. Trying to wrap up the show. And this, I don't know where my time has went, but it surely went tonight. I really would like everybody to take a minute and think about the things they're willing to pay for. And if you don't know, I'll give you a hint. Look in your gratitude journal. Look into those things that you are grateful for. Because chances are, if you are grateful for them, there's a chance that you'll pray for them. And pray for their protection. And if you'll pray for the protection, that means you're willing to pay a price for it. You know, I look at my children and, oh, my God, sacrifice, sacrifice, sacrifice. From the moment they were conceived to every second of the day, there have been sacrifices made. They have to continue to make sacrifices for them. But I'm ever so grateful that I've had the pleasure of being their mother. And the sacrifice, what, I got to come home every day? Yeah. I got to feed them. I got to keep track of this. I got to keep track of that. I got all kinds of costs that I pay for every single day to be this mother. But I don't care. I will pay for it. I'll pay the cost now. Pay the cost later, because this is something I'm grateful for, I'm thankful for, and I'm willing to pay the price for it. Okay? So if you ever had a question as to what you were willing to pay for, what you're willing to work on, take a look at that gratitude journal. I promise you, your answer is there. I promise you, you will see the things that you said, oh, yeah, I don't care about the cost. I'll pay it. Add it to my tab, God. Add it to my tab. I'm willing to go all in because I know that this is what I want and this is what's important to me. Okay? I would love to thank everybody that called in, everyone that just listened and hung out. This was a very interesting show because this was a very, spirit has been just riding me the entire show. And so, and it started early today, so I don't know who needed to hear about the cost
of what we do. But understand there's a cost. Also understand that the benefits, though, okay? The benefit is God's blessing. The benefit is knowing that when it came time to do the right thing, you did the right thing. The cost is, no matter what, I have to stand for what is right. So recognize where your cost is. Recognize what your freedom is. Some people have financial freedom, right? Some people do. They don't worry about money. They don't worry about bills. But the cost is, you may have to live at your mama's house, okay? Now, you live at your mama's house, guarantee you will have financial freedom. Mama not paying you rent or first last month's rent and all that. She ain't doing all that. But so you have financial freedom. But what's the cost? The cost is God bless the child that has their own, you with your mom. That means she's the head of the house, and you may be lucky to get your peanut butter and jelly, okay? That means a lot of sacrifices have to go in. And you need to live the way that your mother, if she don't go to bed with no dishes in her sink, like my mother doesn't go to bed with no dishes in her sink, that's what you got to do. That's part of the cost for financial freedom, okay? For all of those other people that may have, let me see, what other kind of freedoms are? Freedoms of time. You got all the time in the world, okay? Why? Because you're not working. So you made the sacrifice of work. You sacrifice work, and now you have time. Time to study. You know, I on the weekends, I study and I read and I write until I'm exhausted and my eyes cross. And I get frustrated every now and again. Oh, man. This is all I want to do during the week, 24/7, blah, blah, blah. But I'm not at that, I don't have that freedom to not work right now. But so those that do have the freedom to not work, you can study all day. You can pray all day. What's the cost? The cost is you may not have a car because you don't have the money. The cost is if you have a car, you may not have gas because you don't have the money. You know, no matter what freedom you enjoy, even freedoms you may not even enjoy, may not have even asked for, but it's your freedom. There's always a cost on the other end. All I'm saying is I want you to be aware of that cost so you can make it willingly, or you can decide, hey, I'm not good with that cost. That's not what I want. I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to say I want something else. I want something new. I do want the car. Okay, you can have the car, but you got to sacrifice that freedom of time to do it. You see what I'm saying? So just take a minute and recognize for yourself what work are you putting in? What freedoms are you sacrificing? And is it worth it to you? Because if it's not worth it, you need to kind of go back and make some changes. I need you to go back and look and ask Spirit again, hey, Spirit, what about this and what about that? Spirit, I appreciate the freedom of, you know, God allows us to come to him and to speak candidly. We're allowed to question God. We're allowed to ask why for clarity. Not like your brain could possibly comprehend all that God is about to say, but you're allowed to all the same. Isn't that a wonderful freedom? I mean, some parents don't let you ask why, you know. So God gives us the freedom to ask. But what is the cost? The cost is that once you know, you cannot unknow. And now you're held responsible and accountable for knowing. How about that? So you can ask God whatever you want to ask God in the universe. Imagine that. But at that point that the answer is revealed, you're responsible for the answer. You're responsible for the information. So nothing, and I repeat, nothing is free. The heavy responsibility of knowing sometimes, you know, as we go through the divining classes that we go through, and we're
we're trying to learn this language and learning to be accountable and responsible for God's information. It's really a lot of work, family. It really is. So this is one of them shows, okay? And I'm glad everybody, and we have some new people that were checking us out. That's wonderful. We do this every Wednesday at 8 o'clock. You know, I hope that you heard something because Spirit was really speaking, and I have a feeling it was for a particular person or persons. But it's important that everyone is a good exercise. I know even I had to spend some time really thinking about and being aware and okay with some of the costs, some of the sacrifices that I make, some of the things that I do. I had to really have a, you know, come to Jesus meeting and have that moment within my own heart and say, okay, you, this is the cost. Are you going to, do you want to go forward? Do you want to keep going? And I had to make a choice, I had to make a decision. So I want to thank everyone again for listening, for tuning in, for contributing, for continuing to circle the shows. I love it. Circulate the shows. Share what you know. Have those water cooler conversations so that we can continue our growth and development, okay? At the end of every show, and I can't believe time is still creeping on me, we do a prayer. I hope this prayer is the beginning of the prayers that you will hear for this week. You know, don't let this prayer be it. Do your research. Make your own prayer. We're all building and developing, okay? So before my time officially ticks out, I want to say thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God, for carrying us this far, for giving us the patience, for delivering the messages that you had come through this evening and those to come. I want to thank you, God, for allowing the beautiful, wonderful Approach family to hear, to listen, to receive, to participate, to be a part of all of the wonderful things that are going forward. Please strengthen this family so that we can begin to bear the weight that you have for us, knowing that we have good intentions, good hearts, wonderful plans. We are here to help. We'd like to have our vessels be clean so that we can be ready to receive, so that we can turn and pour and to give into others. Understanding that this organization is an organization of service. This is what we do. We're here to help build, to be an example for, to teach, to share, to build. So as we're building ourselves, knowing that that blueprint will turn around and build someone else, I ask that you just give us strength in the middle of it. I ask that you give us clear insight so that we can be precise in all that we do, so that we know that your word is the word that is spoken and that we're able to maintain ourselves in the greatness that you have for us. God, I want to ask you personally to watch over those that are no longer capable of watching over themselves. God, I ask that you lighten some of the heavy hearts that we have. Unfortunately, that depression energy is so very real. Allow those that are suffering to have a moment's peace so that they can get to know you and to allow the prayers that are spoken in their behalf to come forward, God. God, I know all things that you do, all the things that you come forward with, that you're able to make and to build a stronger nation. I know this can be done. We work hard every day, every week to make this happen. In your name, amen.